All right. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. Send greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for your promises, Lord. Thank you for your help. Lord, we just ask you to help us be faithful to you, to bring glory to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear your words this morning, to see your way, and follow it. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right. Revelation chapter 22. These are some of the last words of the Lord that's recorded for us. Given to John. Verse 22, chapter 22, verse 1. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be any light, and they will not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord will illuminate them. And they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard, I saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets and those who heed the word of this book. Worship God. Verse 10, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty, let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues which are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in the book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen. Amen. This is just this morning giving us a little bit of a glimpse into what awaits the faithful. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Then it says in the middle of the street, on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were there for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. This is heaven. This is where the Lord is, the river of life flowing down. If we can just picture this, a beautiful river, clear as crystal, and a tree that produces fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You know, sometimes we think that heaven, I don't know, we just think we're going to be floating around in the sky, plucking on a harp or something. But this talks about a heaven that is a real place. And the people that are living there, there'll be a river there, clear as crystal. And there's going to be nations, it says. The healing, for the healing of the nations. I mean, just a little glimpse, just a little picture of these things. And there will be no longer a curse. And the Bible talks in another place that the devil, he won't be there anymore. And we can just imagine that. Just what will life be without having a curse? This earth, without a curse. What will life be without a devil to tempt us all the time? What will life be where things are actually right? And they're right all the time. There's not a wrong. You don't have to question anything. Every deal. Just imagine this earth where everyone would just help everyone else. There wouldn't be anybody trying to take advantage of anyone. Anyone that had any need, just a heaven on earth. And that's what the church is supposed to be, a picture of that. A place where people can be honest, where people can be open, and we can just work together, and there's no darkness there. It's all light. That's what this verse, and there will be no longer be any night, and there will not have a need of a light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun. Because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. And we can just imagine this, just a place where there's peace, and there's joy, and there's happiness, and no corruption. The curse is gone. What a blessing that would be, that will be. That's forget about a lot of the things we think about, but just having a place or being in a place where there's those things. And he goes on and said, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And then he says, and behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And then John goes on to say, and I, John, saw this. This is what I heard, and this is what I saw, and this is what I'm relating to you. I'm telling this to you. And he was in reverence of the angel that brought it. Then it says, in verse 11, or verse 10, and it says, "And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." The time is near. This was written couple thousand years ago. And he said, the time is near. And how much more today are we nearer that time when this is going to happen? That this is going to be here. Now, I've heard it all my life. I heard it whenever, all my life, the preachers would tell me that they thought that the Lord would return in their lifetime before they died, they thought, and they're dead and gone. And whether or not, or worrying about that, it has come for them. They have met the Lord. Whether we're here whenever all things end or not, we all have an end. And when our time ends, it's over for us. That time is near. We look today at the world and just how corrupt it is. There's not even hardly any comparison to what was happening 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It's just a complete 10 years ago. Things are changing so fast. What was 10 years ago just completely unacceptable now is the absolute normal in society, and people just accept it, and just it just makes you think, how long can this go on? How much worse can it get? That's a thought we need to remind. The time is near. It's so easy to get caught up in this world and what's going on in this world and just get caught up with day to day. Jesus said there'll be eating and drinking and building and all kinds of things going on, just normal. And then the Lord will return. But it's so easy for us to get caught up in all of these things and forget that the time is near. And that's an attitude that he's trying to instill in us. That the time is near. It says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. And the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. Here's this picture of heaven that is painted. He talks about the people that when we die, and this is one of the things that we need to remember, that we are going to be what we are when we die. What we are now is what we are going to be when we die. If we can't know the kingdom of God now, can't be like what is going to be in the kingdom of God now, then we're not going to change when we die. That's what he's talking about. The time is near. And what we are, what we're living, what we're building, what we're creating, our souls, is what's going to, it's going to be, that's what it's going to be in eternity. What we are. And he's telling us to strive to be a part of that kingdom now. Because what's going to change you after you die? Some people, I've heard one man say, what's going to make you different after you die? The worms that eat your body, are they going to transform you into something different? No. Right now is the time we have to be different. Right now is the time we have to be righteous, to be holy. And if we go on here, it says, after he says again, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done." I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And it says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. Blessed are those who wash their robes. There's the blessing right there. That means that there's people that their robes were dirty. That means that there was people who had spots on them. That means, what that means is there are people who were not going to belong in this kingdom that can belong in that kingdom. There's our hope. There is our opportunity. There is the blessing for humanity that we can be washed. And made white as snow. We can be washed to where we can belong in this place. If we will. If we want to. And he gives us this message here as a message. Sometimes whenever it says, behold, I'm come quickly, it strikes fear into people's hearts. Because they're not ready. They're not washed. They're not clean. But it can give us an opportunity. We can take that and build on it. And be washed. Be clean. So that we can belong in that kingdom. Then it says in verse 15, it says, for outside. Outside. You know, whenever we think of the word out, you know, we like outside. We like to be out of the buildings, outside, because there's fresh air, and there's sunshine, there's nice things out there. But whenever he talks, this is outside. Whenever he says outside, that means outside of this kingdom. Outside of all those good things. We see the good things, but outside of that is where the people are that don't belong in that kingdom. It says, and outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. That's where I wanted to get to today. Everyone who loves and practices lying. That's one area, I've noticed it, and just seems more and more prevalent, of how few people really want truth. Really just can accept honesty and just completely be honest and truthful. And how many love a lie and making a lie? And first thing is, you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, I never tell a lie. They always say the truth. And I know a lot of people that they wouldn't lie for anything. You could not force them to say a lie. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying he who loves a lie and makes a lie. You know, we can make lies in a lot of different ways. He that loveth and practices lying, and King James says makes a lie. It's more than just, you know, we see the person, you know, we've all know of someone, but there's not very many people are just pathological liars that you just can't believe a word they say, because they just lie all the time. You hear about them, you know, but really, if you just think about it, who is it that you deal with or talk to that everything they tell you is a lie? There's not very many people like that. I mean, there's some. I mean, we've been lied to, and it happens, but it's not just the common thing. But to love and make a lie is to be content with something that gives us comfort without having light. And we're comfortable in that. That's why it's hard to be honest with people and just be honest and open with someone. Because we've all got spots. And we've all got weaknesses. And we've all got shortcomings. And so when we're just open about that, that shows other people that they have them too. And people don't like that. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And it puts a little measure of question. That's what I've noticed, that how quickly people will believe lies and how hard it is for someone to accept just plain old truth. There's just not very many people in the world that do that. The kingdom of heaven is just going to be wide open. We think the sun is bright because it reveals things, but there's things, even with the sun shining, there's dark places. There's dark areas all over the place. There's inside that box, it's dark. The sun's shining, bright as all get out. But there can be things in the darkness all over. When the Lord comes, there won't be a sun. And there won't be a little dark corner anywhere. Everything will be open. We'll have to be just exactly what we are. We'll have to be just exactly what we are. And people don't like that. Jesus talked about the man that there in whom there is no guile. In other words, he just saw things and it was just open to him. He was open. And what he said was just open. But people don't like that. We've talked about the little saying that the truth is still getting its boots on while a lie has already gone around the world. It's just amazing how quick people are ready to believe a deceiver or a liar, and how hard it is for someone to actually trust someone trying to be honest. Sometimes I'm still amazed. You just see something, you try to tell people, you try to give them some light, you try to give them some help, and you show them very plainly what's going to happen or what's going to happen. And they see it and they understand it, and then they'll just completely ignore it and then just believe someone they know that has lied to them before or deceived them before and just follow after it every time. They would never say a lie. They would never speak an untruth. But when the truth faces them, instead of facing it and accepting it and allowing it to change them or convert them, they always divert to a lie. That's what he's talking about here. They always are drawn to what's not true, even though they can see truth right in front of them. It's not just someone saying a lie that's the problem. It's when we see truth and we would just rather close our eyes and just accept a lie. False narratives. So many things in religion just present a false narrative. And I'll give you an example here. Here we saw what Jesus said. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. There is no plainer words and no easier words to understand if we want to understand them. You're going to get what's coming to you. Boom. That's all. But religion says, I just heard it this week. Oh, you know, we've talked to people about following Jesus, and we've got this image that our lives are going to be flashed out on a television screen and everybody's going to watch it, and God's going to be over here weighing our good deeds and our bad deeds. And well, just to see, just hope your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. And then they say, that ain't how it's going to be. Well, the first thing, they've created a false narrative. In your mind, you're thinking, oh, good deeds, bad deeds, and I hope I measure up. And so you're thinking about your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds. And then they tell you that's not it. The gospel is all your deeds are bad. Throw it all out, because all you need to do is be saved and ask Jesus into your heart. Because nothing that you can do is going to matter. They've set up a false narrative. And it just completely annihilates or destroys what Jesus said. No, our deeds are not going to be weighed one against the other. We're not going to, God said, okay, you did good over here, but you did bad there. Oh, that kind of balances out. You'll be okay. That's not what He's going to do. That's not. But they create that narrative that that's what people think. And that's not what they think. That's not right. Our deeds don't balance out. What we do right will never outweigh our bad. What we've done bad. The wages of sin is death. We can't pay for it. We're dying. We're dead. But to create that false narrative so you can throw out everything about actually doing what's right is a lie. And people love that lie. And they make it and they produce it all over the place. They would never tell a lie, they say. That they would, their conscience wouldn't allow them to speak something that they know was untrue. But they will take a lie and believe it with their whole heart and just publish it all over the world, thinking that they're telling truth. But he that loveth and maketh a lie, when we choose to deceive ourselves and believe a false narrative and throw out truth, we believe we love and make a lie. We love and make a lie because we believe the deception. Jesus said, we'll be judged according to our works. They've set up this narrative that our works don't matter anymore. But they do. It's who we are. It's who we are. And we can be washed. We can be changed. We can be transformed. We can be reborn. Forgiven, cleansed, so that we can belong into that kingdom. But we gotta love the truth. You gotta love the truth and cling to it. Who's gonna measure up? We're not going to measure up. But we can love the truth and we can let it change us. Step by step and day by day, if we want to. We are going to be judged by how we lived. But those things that have been washed and cleansed won't even weigh into the picture anymore because they've been changed. There's something new. That's just one area of how a false narrative can just change completely the way we think. And people believe those false narratives, and they would never say a lie, but they promote one. We can create images about someone that's false. We would never say, you know, something false about it, but we can sure build a really nice narrative to where, because men love darkness and because men love bad and ugly, and that we can build a narrative and we can just plant that seed and they'll run with it and they'll take it, because that's human nature. We can love a lie without saying one, because it really benefits us. We think that's another lie. It isn't benefiting us. It will be what destroys us. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. We don't realize that we are absolutely helpless to Satan and his power. Satan, we have no defense against him and ourselves. People say, oh, you're giving the devil too much power, too much glory, too much credit. God gave him that power. God gave him that ability. But God also gave us the opportunity to reject it. That's our only hope. That's why this balance thing doesn't matter at all. That's why it isn't a balance thing. There's a devil. And people refuse to accept that there's a devil. There's narratives that there's nothing we can do, and then it's all about us. And that we make the right choices and we do everything right, and it's all our responsibility and everything is up to us how we live. That's false too. There are religions, there are people that believe that it's all about how I perform and how I live and what I say. I never tell a lie, but I live one every day. There's people that trust that because they've never done anything bad, that they're good. And they think they've done it themselves because of the way they were trained or because whatever reason. But they forget that there's a devil. And in that sense, in that case, all of the good things that they think that they're doing, the devil can use them too. That's why we need washed. That's why we need set free. Jesus said the truth will set you free. The truth's hard to bear sometimes. Oftentimes, it is always easier for us to believe a little bit of deception than just to take the truth head on. We don't really like it. Because it isn't easy. It always makes it more difficult just to keep the truth. Jesus, that's why he came, to break Satan's power over us so that we could be washed. We could be set free. That's another false narrative. It just seems to go from one to the other. That there's nothing we can do, so Jesus does it all, to someone trying to do it all themselves. And we don't even hardly accept that there is a devil in this world. He's been made into a cartoon character. And we think someone that's demon possessed is someone that's just drooling and acting crazy, and they're all wild eyed and just saying crazy things. Oh, they're possessed. That's not what all Satan possesses. That's a mistake there. Satan doesn't want that kind of stuff. That didn't bring him any credit or any glory to see someone just going nuts. You know what Satan likes? He likes the smooth and the polished and the beautiful, the cool. Someone's got it all together. Look at who people listen to. They don't believe somebody just stumbling around trying to tell the truth because they're trying to be honest. So they're trying to be open about it. They're just suspicious of those people. But someone that's really got it down pat and got a really good solid story and got a solid, just everything's just going so-so, and they have this appearance of everything being right, that is what Satan loves. Look at your politicians. They just tell everybody what they want to hear. And people love it. You want to see someone demon-possessed? Look for someone who always tells everyone just exactly what they want to hear. They don't look like they're drooling and fire coming out of their fingernails and just wicked looking. No, they're smooth and polished, and they can sell Eskimo or ice to an Eskimo. I mean, they just have everything down pat, and people just throw money at them and just believe every word they say, even though they know. But that's the way Satan comes. And then someone comes along just trying to be honest, and they might stammer around a little bit and stutter, and right away people say, "Oh, what's he trying to? He's trying to trick me. I don't want." And they're trying their best to be honest. And then the guy comes along just smooth as glass, smooth as, just starts telling somebody, and it's just a lie, and people just believe it all day long. And they love it. And they just follow it. And are deceived. The hardest thing is, it's people that are simple. People that need help. They always seem to follow the smooth guy. They always seem to follow the deceiver, the one that has all the right appearance. They seem so nice. They seem so kind. And they seem so smooth. And people just follow them all day long. And someone trying to tell them the truth, trying to just be honest, trying to be open and real, they just shun them. Always, they always believe a liar. Except for those who hear his voice. Except for those who can look past all of the fluff and all of the smooth and all of that and see truth. Jesus came and he wasn't a man. Somebody brought up last night in the verse it says he wasn't comely or good to look upon. Someone brought up and said, kind of had the thought of someone that wasn't polished. He wasn't a televangelist. Used to be a song, said, would Jesus wear a Rolex? Would he be all decorated up and nice looking and appearance and just look really successful and just be really to get people to trust him? That's not Jesus. Jesus wouldn't last 2 minutes on the TV. And not because he's blasting everybody and telling them they're all going to hell. It's because he'd probably just get up there and even saying his name and trying to describe who he is, they'd quick change the camera, they'd get off of him. He'll turn everybody away. Because he isn't polished. He's just a man. Just a man. That looks terribly out of place in a corrupt world. But you take that man that's terribly out of place in a corrupt world and put him in an uncorrupt world, and he'll shine like a diamond in this place we're talking about. Where there's no need for the sun, where there's no need for lights and flashlights and candles. This guy that is out of place and nobody believes him will just be the normal in the kingdom of God. False narrative. Putting this picture of smoothness. You know, we've used the example of drinking the Kool-Aid. They put poison, a little bit of poison, in the Kool-Aid. You can't taste the poison. Kool-Aid tastes good, so you drink it and you die. They've done it. That's why the phrase, "I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid," means that I'm not just going to accept all the sweet stuff and the good stuff. We've seen people in groups. There's people that are pure poison, that are leading groups. And then there's people that are, they look good. They look polished. They're really nice. They're really kind. And they draw people to them. And so you accept them and you get the poison right along with it. You drink the Kool-Aid. You're drawn in by the nice. And then you wind up drinking the poison. There's people that are Kool-Aid for poison. There's people that are Kool-Aid. They lure you right into the poison. That's the lie. That's he that loveth and maketh a lie. Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. And the time is near." We have the opportunity to love what's right, to love the truth, or we can believe a lie. "Behold, I come quickly," he said. We have the chance to be prepared to be a part of that, or we can be left outside. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. We just ask for your wisdom. Father, as we search our hearts, help us be faithful to you. Help us to be a part of those that belong in your kingdom. Help us to love the truth, buy it, bind it about us, sell it not, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Hear now.